Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports for you from Ken down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we talk fall fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. And lastly, more great fall tips from pro angler Bro Brosdahl. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get on the water today with the Lund Catch of the Year at Hayward Power Sports. We have Lunds in stock, rigged and ready with Mercury outboards. Save $1,000 on a 1650 Angler SS, $2,500 on a Lund Impact, or a whopping $3,000 on a 1975 Pro V Sport. Lund features boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern and lifetime hull coverage. And no boat holds its value better. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Hi, this is Ann the Tool Girl from M&M Rental. Here at M&M Rental, we have it all for you do-it-yourselfers and contractors. Concrete tools, metal brakes, man lifts, log splitters, skid steers, and everything you'll need for excavating and trenching, plus much more. And for fun on the water, we have jet skis, ski boats, pontoon boats, fishing boats, kayaks too. From lawn care equipment to tools and sporty goods, we have it all and we deliver. Give us a call at 634-3146. M&M Rental, located on Highway B, Hayward.
We're down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and we're talking to Ken down here. And Ken, you've been a couple weeks now on the radio show, and what do you got to report here? We're into October now. As we're talking, we're the last day of the Big Muskies Inc. tournament. Seems to be a lot of people up here fishing.
Yeah, there has been. I'd say it's October 2nd today, and as of what I know of, there was probably over 45 muskies caught, and seemed to be the dominant color was black.
Well, you know, and that should start to pick up here. Our water temperatures are down now. Finally, we're looking at water temperatures down around that high 50s, and that's where they normally are this year. You're normally, in most years, I just remember seeing temperatures between 55 and 58 degrees, and we're right close into that area.
I've noticed this year, especially with, you know, some of the lakes with lower water, it seems like a lot of bait are still on the weeds. So I would imagine, like, A lot of the fish are still in the weeds right now.
You know, and that's a pattern that I see a lot of times during turnover time. It's a mistake a lot of people make. They think they're deeper, but I've caught muskies up in, you know, 2 feet of water this time of year.
Yeah, I lose a lot of baits fishing largemouth with them, and sometimes I'm not too happy about a $26 bait go swimming through the water.
Right. They got teeth. Unlike largemouth, they tend to bite off stuff. Anyway, we talked about the muskies there. You heard any particular thing, what they've been hitting them on, or it's been a little everything?
It seems like bucktails seem to be the dominant lure this year.
You know, and that's a good choice because it's a very versatile lure, and you can fish it any time of the year. You fish at a lot of different speeds, and it just flat triggers fish, it seems like.
Well, you can follow the contours of a weed line, just a matter of varying your retrieve. And if the muskies are up shallow, which I would suspect that they were on some of the lakes, especially being overcast, that you can cover a lot of water.
You know, and we're talking about bucktails, and the one bait that is starting to be utilized a little bit, but when I first started coming up here muskie fishing, and almost nobody used them, was the muskie-sized spinner baits, and that's even more versatile.
Yeah, we have a gentleman in here that custom-made quite a few yesterday and the day before, so I wonder how those anglers fared out
Yeah, you know, and it's a tool that's very flexible, and even for bass. So let's talk about bass fishing a little bit here. That's another thing that's really good right now, especially smallmouth.
Well, going back to the spinnerbaits, you can actually invade the weeds and disrupt the ecosystem just a little bit where all the bait is and displace the bait without getting hung up every cast.
Yeah, you know, same with bass, muskies, anything else you're fishing, you know. It's not a bait that you just pull in a straight line in. You can vary it and kind of let it go up and down as long as you keep your line tight.
I was doodle socking white spinner baits in the cabbage on Leech Lake, and the muskies were in there big time.
And, you know, the bass fishing, let's go to the bass fishing here, smallmouth bass, that's been actually pretty good, and it's going to get better here.
Yeah, there was a couple tournaments this weekend on Le Couderay and Grindstone, and apparently through hearing through the grapevine, there was a lot of smallmouth caught.
You know, and then that's usually a deeper pattern, though, isn't it?
Not always. It all depends upon the barometric pressure and sun. Smallies seem to like sun, and they'll pull up on the flats, and they'll get up and cruise and chase minnows on just like a one-foot sand break.
You know, what would you tell people would be the good bait to try to catch them?
Chartreuse, white spinnerbait with gold and silver Colorado blades.
And you know, we get later and later, it'll turn more into a live bait thing, won't it?
Yes, they'll move to more deeper structure.
How about largemouth out there? What are you hearing there? I know there's still a few guys out there fishing largemouth.
Weed lines, I think, until the migration of the frog migration starts, and then the pads will get really good, especially areas that have duckweed.
The frogs migrating to where?
They're coming from the swamps that usually freeze over in the wintertime. They'll migrate into the lakes and migrate down in the muck near the slot base.
You know, and, you know, walleyes also eat a key in sometimes on their frog migrations.
Yes, they do, and it's probably the otter's favorite food.
Yeah, otter's favorite food. I know there have been guys talk about over the years going out walleye fishing this time of year and concentrating in the areas where the frog migration is going on.
Very true.
Walleye fishing, have you heard much there?
Well, the last couple of days when the barometer rose, the fish after them two cold nights, that they've kind of migrated around. They're moving around a little bit right now because of the bait. The deeper bait is kind of moving around. So there's always weed fish on every lake. But as far as the deep water basins, you just got to use electronics, find areas with a lot of bait.
You know, it seems like them and both the panfish have been, after this barometer change we had go through, they got a little more lethargic as far as biting. I mean, I noticed that.
Yeah, so here's what happens. When you have cloudy weather, which you would expect to be a low barometer, and then you have a high pressure that hits that, say it's at 30,000 feet, you have a low barometer, and then you have a high pressure push and concentrate the pressure down below the clouds, it actually creates more of a higher pressure than what your barometer indicates, you know, for the fish on the bottom of the lake.
And make no mistake that the barometer is everything a lot of times when it comes to fishing, because they're highly affected by barometric pressure.
Yeah, because their bladder just gets out of sync, and they won't travel too much, and they just go in a resting mode. Moon phases are also pretty important too, so indicating the complexity of gravitational pull of the moon phase plus barometric pressure, you can actually pick what days that the fish are going to bite.
You pretty much so. You know, the one thing I will say, though, is that the weather trumps pretty much everything almost, it seems like. It overrides even the moon phases and stuff.
Yeah, as an example, so after that cold morning we had, that was a high, stable, high barometer. The wildlife was going nuts all day. And every angler that came in the store, I mean, they did really good that day. And then all of a sudden, we had this low, but then a high come in right after it. I mean, the fishing got pretty tough.
And I think we're going to see some pretty good fishing all the way through the fall now. I suspect the weather is going to stabilize a little bit, let's hope, anyhow.
Yeah, well, if you want to fish the turnover, start at the smaller lakes and gradually go to the bigger lakes as the ice threatens to keep you off your boat.
You know, my tip would be for the turnover, you get in a lake where you suspect that the turnover is going on, the water's a little murky and muddy, and find the greenest weed you can find, even shallow.
Well, if it smells pretty bad in that area, you got to go a different part of the lake or even change the lakes.
You bet. Hunt seasons are open right now. There are a few guys out there archery hunting, and you guys are pretty well equipped for everything here for the hunting seasons, too.
Yes, we are, and reports are that the bucks got good racks this year, even though we had a late spring.
Well, that's interesting, too. Maybe I'll get a chance at a little better buck this year, I hope, anyhow. And for fall fishing, I see you guys pretty much got everything in stock yet. A few shelves are starting to get a little bit down, but...
Yeah, and, you know, in past years, there's always been a little bit of a shortage of suckers, but we seem to be sitting good on musky suckers and walleye suckers right now.
Well, Ken, I want to thank you for taking the time here with our listeners.
All right. Well, thank you, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we've got some great fall fishing tips for you from fishing guide Eric Tuohy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of fall musky, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also have a great selection of tree stands, camo, ammunition, scents, hunting supplies, and much more. Gear up for the fall at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Sea-Doo pre-order sales event is on at Hayward Power Sports. The best way to guarantee a new 2023 for next year and the only way to get the Sea-Doo RXPX Apex 300 Exclusive Edition. As a bonus, you'll get 2 years of BRP warranty coverage for free. Whether you're looking for a traditional Sea-Doo personal watercraft or a Sea-Doo switch pontoon boat, this is the best way to get what you want. Or we still have a few 2022 models in stock that offer no payments and no interest financing for 6 months. See Hayward Power Sports today, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one of the guides that get on here occasionally from time to time is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. Had a chance to talk to Eric the other day on the phone about fall fishing and lots of great tips. We're talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy, and you know, the season's kind of winding down, but the musky season will go for quite a while yet, and there'll be some diehards out there that'll be chiseling ice to get their boat in, actually, and the season's just getting going for that late fall musky season, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt, John. We kind of experienced a really good first frost, if you would, and I feel like when that first frost hits, some of us musky anglers get a little more revved up, and we'll generally be chipping away at it through the rest of the month, and, you know, given conditions, we might have some options in fishing early November, but we'll see what Mother Nature throws at us, right?
Right. You know, let's talk about one of the more popular ways. Guys go out there with suckers, and, you know, when you're rigging up suckers, any particular mistakes you see people make real commonly?
Well, I think, you know, paying attention to equipment is a big aspect, so I do step up or recommend anglers stepping up to bigger braided line. So going from maybe what we'd be casting in that 65 to 85 pound braid and stepping up to 100 pound braid, that will alleviate a chance or potential for a break off. And then from there to, you know, as the days get colder, a fiberglass rod actually can be a little bit more preferred. There's just something to the equation of having that sucker rig break free for with a proper set and being able to properly hook that muskie that took it. So
I know most of us out there have learned the hard way when it comes to the rod for sucker fishing. We've actually blew up some pretty nice graphite rods. In fact, one of the guys that used to guide up here, I went to his house one day, and he had a whole trash can full of rods. He got so mad, he broke a rod on a 40-pound class fish. He just broke every one of them rods and threw them in the trash can.
Yeah, and, you know, these are, you know, a lot of our rods are fantastic for, you know, casting baits and having, you know, maybe a little faster action in a hook set. but I think there's something about stout line and a spongy rod, if you would, to some degree, and being able to get adequate hook set without breaking gear.
Well, you get a generated awful lot of power in that short line hook set, too. I mean, I blew up a graphite one time where I was just holding nothing but the reel and the handle, and there wasn't a piece left over 6 inches long of the rod. It just completely exploded.
Oh, gosh, yeah. You got to watch it, especially, too, when it gets a little chilly out there. So, you know, do your due diligence. If you can clear lines, thaw lines out a little bit. Sometimes even when it gets cold, throw in a hand warmer on that line just to let things, you know, thaw out a little bit.
How about the actual rigging the sucker up? I mean, what mistakes do you see people make? I see people typically, a lot of times, bury the hooks way too deep in the sucker.
Yeah, so a big aspect is generally with most sucker rigs, they're going to have something that's going to hook to the actual sucker, maybe nostril or lip. I prefer some form of a nostril clip, kind of like the Shumway fuzzy clip and goes. That's a go-to standby for me. Then, too, when you're positioning a hook, especially with those rigs, they're pretty well defined in the treble hook, and they actually have something that would be a teed off treble hook. So I use that, and I clear a little bit of scales off the fish, just like if you were maybe descaling a panfish ready for a fish fry. So we just want to expose skin, and then that hook is actually just barely embedded right behind the skin, not very much meat. And I mean, like, you know, if you're filleting a fish, we do not want to put that hook too far in, because we want the best chances of it holding up, but also best chances of it hooking the fish after our hook set. The other aspect, too, is when you look at some sucker rigs, some anglers might go too far back towards the tail, even though you might have some, you know, real estate to work with, but and also not getting too far forward on the sucker. You know, yes, sometimes our fish head hunt a little bit, but if you're too far forward, you might actually be, it could be detrimental to the sucker itself.
Yeah, I kind of second that on the fuzzy's clip and go, because that's the best rig that I've seen. And I've been through the whole course over many, many years dealing with every kind of sucker rigging there is, and made some of the first quick strike rigs actually out there. But yeah, I always tell people, if you got to really be careful when you pull your suckers out of the water and handle them without the fear of them shaking off your hooks, you're getting them rigged properly, because yeah, you got to be real careful. Yeah.
They could be squirrely. You don't want them jumping into the lake there, you know. So, and also, too, even sometimes our early time of the year, you might be getting your bait from a location that might have really cold water from their bait tank. And just being conscious of, you know, if you are, you know, say a nicer, warmer day versus just tossing that minnow in there. It's an expensive minnow to be tossing it in there and, you know, maybe a potential shock. So there's definitely care that's involved with utilizing the suckers for musk.
And setting the hook. Setting the hook is important. Yeah. How you do it.
So, yeah, that, you know, kind of bare bones basic is we don't want to ever let too much line drag out with a fish take. And then, you know, you're really trying to close that distance. And then knowing where the fish is. Direction. Is it going away from you? Is it going under the boat? So some quick decisions are made right there on the spot, and assessing every single take is very, very key. And then it's a little bit of a downward hook set with the rod drop to the fish, or the rod tip drop to the fish, to create slack, because that slack to a hook set is very key into snapping that rig free and being able to hook the fish.
You know, and one of the things, too, is that letting them have it too long runs a risk of them getting it farther down, which is the biggest thing to me, I think, is the risk of them chewing on, knocking them hooks loose, and then you wind up missing the fish. Because getting it down when you've got two treble hooks facing downward, they usually don't get that choke down very easily. But them chewing the hooks loose is a big deal, I think, if you let them chew on it too much.
Yeah, there's no reason to wait too long. In theory, with the quick strike rig, especially the clip and goes or any other sucker rig, the idea is to be able to get on that fish, get it hook set, and, you know, assess that situation right there on the spot, and do it as quick as possible. And that's generally always going to give you a better hook set. You do run into kind of some freak moment crazy aspects where you grab that sucker rod out of the rod holder, what have you, and you can feel that fish already chomping away like someone working a cob of corn all the way to the end, to the head. And you got to make a decision at that point in time, for sure.
You bet. And another option, if you don't want to fish suckers, suckers are getting expensive nowadays, but they're productive. The other option is trolling nowadays. We can troll on just about every one of the lakes now if you want to.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, and even during our sucker season, if you would, we're still casting. Sometimes you get into cold conditions where the reels might get a little bit locked up, but majority of our season, though, even leading forward, we're still casting, and it might be bucktails, it might be a combination of that, or rubber baits and glide baits, and, you know, revisiting some other baits that, you know, sometimes we're working early in the season, and now are working again in the later part of the season. But as the time goes on and suckers weren't an option, and especially when it gets cold, that trolling bite can really rev up.
You know, and along with that, too, I almost forgot jigging. You know, one of the problems with catching fish once we get late in the fall is they don't want to come up in that colder water temperature up on top. They want to stay down farther. And you got to get your baits down to them, and you can, you know, rip big rubber and get that stuff down in there, but you've got a lot of other baits, like a fuzzy does it, and Bondi baits, and you can actually jig them, you know, when it's really cold and your line's trying to freeze up. Jig fishing is a real good option, as well as dragging a sucker behind at the same time.
Oh, absolutely, John, and as we get into really cold times of the year, October might throw us, or even late October, early November, you know, we kind of see a little bit of a change in our pattern of fish, and sometimes they're a little bit more predictable when we think about wintering locations, and some of those fish show up there to where, you know, that jig bite would be a great option for an angler.
You bet. Especially if you're running like this new live sonar, any type of live sonar, because you can actually really jig fish effectively then, I think.
Right, yeah, it's just, you know, almost there, but just minus the auger, right?
You bet. Anyway, Eric, anybody's interested in getting you for a fishing guide, how do they get a hold of you there?
Absolutely. So if they'd like to get in touch, area code is going to be 612-384-9127.
You bet. Well, thank you, Eric, for taking the time with us, and, you know, hopefully if people get out there and catch a few of those big muskies here in the Hayward area.
Yeah, absolutely. Get after it. It's a great time of the year to be out there.
Thank you.
Well, lots of great tips there from Eric, but, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we've got even more late fall fishing tips for you from pro angler and fishing guide Bro Brosdahl. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales, and they have live bait, tackle, and fishing licenses too. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides. Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, one of the people we get on here from time to time whenever we get a chance to talk to him is one of the pro anglers and guides from over northern Minnesota I know, Bro Brosdahl. And on this week's show, we're talking fall fishing with Bro. Let's talk about the fall fishing a little bit, Bro.
Oh, absolutely. Jigging is absolutely my favorite way to fish.
Jigging in the fall, you know, you mentioned the larger minnows. So one thing that I've been known to use northern pike sucker minnows when I'm fishing smallies or walleyes when I'm looking at those deep water fish, because they go after them big baits or in that jig, you know, and the thing is when you're in that deep water, a lot of guys want to use too light a jig, I think, sometimes.
Oh, yeah, you can. 3/8 ounce, even in 20 feet of water is nice. I like a fast fall, so I oversize my jigs in the fall. I use gumball type of jigs, so I'll have a, if I want to have a big minnow, I like a stinger hook, and I let it swing free, but if I'm using a big creek chub on a fireball jig, I'll tie a little braid stinger hook back, and I'll stick the hook in the tail, but that's the only time I stick it in the minnow, if I'm using a really big one. Like a long shank fireball is nice because you can go in the mouth, come out the gill, and then just kind of slice it into the back. And then the minnow's still going to stay alive and wiggle. And it's got that little eyelet on the bottom that you can run. You can really get creative and try little stinger hooks. And if you just want to, you know, use a regular jig, a long shank fireball is nice for most minnows. But if you're jigging with a great big minnow, then I like using a stinger because you don't have to stop and let them chew on it. You just set the hook in, but even if you could just get, you know, 3 to 4.5 inch golden shiners, sucker minnows, whatever's available, even using a night crawler all the way into fall, jigging with a night crawler is pretty doggone hard to beat on a long shank fireball jig because you could thread the night crawler on, and there's a little wire. You take a little needle nose, you bend that wire up and make a little hook, and you can stab it in the crawler, then the fish can't pull it down. And just nip a little bit of the tail off so that it leaves scent in the water.
One of the things you mentioned, we're talking about the electronics and what you can find out there. And we talk about this hard bottom, soft bottom transition all the time. Mm-hmm. That really stands out when you learn to use our side imaging. You can find these spots so easy in little bands of rock and gravel and just amazing things that you can learn watching that sonar. And it's not all that difficult to learn it.
Oh, and it's key stuff. It's super key stuff, especially in fall when you do get cold. You know, obviously it's cooling off in the fall, but when you get a massive cold front bearing down on you, these hard bottom areas away from shore, not too far from a hump, or it could be an extension of a hump. I call it the root of a hump because the humps kind of reach out farther than you think. And you get these hard bottom areas, whether they're sand or they're gravel. These are some of my A spots. You know, the A spots used to be the points on the humps. Well, everybody sees those now. So my new A spots are hard bottom areas that are not that defined that you really have to pay attention to. And I'll mark some of the corners of these areas. And I find these save my skin a lot of times on guide trips or even in tournaments. And then even panfish will choose these spots. If the weeds kind of die off, get sour, you know, they've already started dying off. You'll see a lot of the a lot of sandgrass floating, and you'll see the all the different vegetation start coming to the surface. Northern milfoil, even Eurasian water milfoil, starts splintering and breaking off. But that'll live through the winter, depending on the sun. But when this happens, sometimes fish will go to hard bottom areas on the edge of it in muddy areas. But on a warm trend, they'll move up. Any kind of surviving weeds will be loaded with panfish, and the perch will be in the edge of the weeds because that's where the crayfish are, and they're going to be eating crayfish and eating minnows. And the feed bag in the fall, I'd say it's almost on air just about every day. And the neat thing about it, it's banker's hours. Unless you're crazy and you just have to go out at night, in the fall, you can go out and fish 9 till 2. You don't have to get up early, and you don't have to go in late. I mean,
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link through to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.